Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in the book of Luke still. It's a big book, Caleb.
It is. There's a lot there, but I've enjoyed this study.
Yeah, and you know, I would encourage you in your own Bible reading. I know that some of you view Everyday Truth as your time in the Word, and that humbles me, and I appreciate you joining us. But as you continue over a lifetime to study God's Word, vary your approach. So, man, spend some time in the life of Jesus, spend some time in the Old Testament, spend some time in the epistles, mix it up. It's kind of like in eating. You know, I kind of was on this Chick-fil-A kick for a while, 12 grilled nuggets every day. And I love Chick-fil-A, but if it's the same thing every single day, you know, then that can get weary. So keep it mixed up. And we're mixing it up here in the book of Luke, and we're actually in verse 43. So let me read the passage for us. And as a matter of fact, we're going to cover a couple different topics today, so just hang on. The Bible says, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the hands of men. But they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So two little vignettes, little pictures in the ministry of Jesus, both of which tell us a lot about the ministry priority of the life of Jesus. The first one is Jesus again comes back to this ministry of clarification. So Caleb, a couple episodes ago, we talked about Jesus clarifying who Messiah is. Mm. I'm going to be not the ruler first, right. Not the mighty liberator first. I'm going to be the one that dies for the sins of the world, which is the mighty liberation, right. The liberation from sin. So again, here in Luke 9, so that they don't miss it. He said, listen, guys, I'm going to die. So let this saying sink down into your ears. I like the way he says that.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to say it, you know, when we think about it. But, you know, again, you know, you see where Jesus, you know, had cast out the demon and the other disciples weren't able to do it. And then everybody's amazed. But yet again, you know, he redirects their focus to say, guys, it's not about these miracles. You know, yes, you know, I am the Lord and I can do this, but the focus is that I'm here to seek and save that which is lost. You know, I'm here to die for the sins
miracles
of the world.
Are validators of the message. So don't let the sideshow distract you from the message, mm-hmm. which is I'm come to die for the sins of the world. Mm. So when he says, let these sayings sink down into your ears, to me, that connotes a process. Something sinks down, it takes time. Let this sink down. In other words, chew on this, meditate upon this. Mm. Let this change your preconception. Because remember before we talked about the Jews had this preconception. Messiah is this. Messiah is this. Messiah is this. And now Jesus is saying, no. Messiah is this. Mm-hmm. That's hard when you've been taught something often enough, when you're young enough, that's the way you see life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it must have been difficult, you know, for the disciples as Jesus was teaching them. But, you know, of course, you know, Jesus keeps reiterating this, as you said, because their whole preconceived notion is that Jesus is going to come in and he's going to liberate everything. But as you think about it, letting it sink down into your ears, it's that process of meditation, that process of it's not going in one ear out the other. It's something that I'm taking to heart. I'm contemplating it. I'm really considering it. And Jesus's point was, once you really consider that, once you contemplate it, it'll change the way you view my ministry, and it'll change the way that, you know, you will follow me.
And that was the point he had made. We talked about several episodes ago. So they perceived it not. The Bible says they perceived it not. And then the interesting thing, they were afraid to ask him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what that fear was or why that fear existed. But to me, it's almost like they're afraid that it's true. They're afraid mm-hmm. to ask because we don't want this to be true. But it's almost like if you told me something and I thought, man, he's talking about dying. I'm not going to ask about that because I don't want that to be true.
Right.
It's just that they're confused and they're not asking for clarification. And that confusion is going to affect the way they look at ministry. So to me, when we don't have a proper view of the Lord and who he is, and what his ultimate purpose is, then we're going to have a skewed view about the way we do ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's what you find. Because in the very next verse, the Bible says, what they're doing is they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Now, why would they be arguing about that? What's driving a conversation about how they're going to be viewed in the kingdom?
Because they're still viewing God as this great, you know, Jesus Christ as this great liberator. And so, you know, just like any other great kingdom, there's going to have to be the right hand man. There's going to have to be that person that he goes to. And so, you know, even still, they're still struggling with this concept of who Jesus is at this time. And so, you know, here they are fighting about trivial things like, you know, who is going to be the right hand man? Who is going to be the person that Jesus leans to as he rules this world right now?
Who's going to have the most honor? Mm. So you're seeing that their misunderstanding of the nature of Jesus' ministry is really corrupting their view of present ministry.
Right.
So their view of present ministry is who's going to have the most status,
right?
Who's going to be the greatest. It's affecting them. Your theology is ultimately going to affect your practice and your philosophy. So their philosophy is wrong because their theology is wrong. Mm-hmm. Verse 47, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. I guess Jesus could have just rebuked them. He said, guys, stop. You know, you're full of yourselves. Like, do you hear what I just said? This is about self-denial. This is about taking up your cross daily. He could have reiterated that, but a lot of times in life, picture or an illustration will speak more loudly and poignantly mm-hmm. than even words.
Right. Yeah. And I love how Jesus, you know, takes this as just a teaching moment. You know, we talk about, you know, sermons, and we say a lot of times that windows or illustrations are a window, you know, to the truth. And, you know, and that's, you know, as we look at Jesus' story here, with him describing this as with a child, you know, you think as a disciple, you know, Jesus has spoken so many things throughout his ministry, but him taking a child and sitting him there, that's going to stick out to me. And that's going to be a moment that I remember. And as I remember that moment, I remember the truth. And so I think, you know, as we stated, you know, this is just a time where Jesus said, okay, we've been struggling with this. You know, let's just take this moment as a poignant time where we can remember, so that, you know, moving forward, your ministry is changed.
Especially for the disciples, because back in Bible days, I mean, there was such an emphasis placed upon when one had the status of adulthood. So bar mitzvah, age 12, a son of the law, and then at age 15, you were permitted to follow a teaching rabbi. So some of the disciples here, maybe John especially, would have been teenagers. These are young guys. So for Jesus to say, hey, this child has status because of the fact that he's a human being. If you receive this child and treat him right, it's like you're receiving me, receiving the Father. Boy, that's a sting to these guys who now feel like they have some status because they're with the Messiah. And then it not only is it a teaching about the value of every individual person, but also the value of the people to whom we minister, you know, and the greatness is not in being served, because that's what they were talking about. And Jesus comes back to that theme over and over, but greatness is found in serving, and not in serving people who can give us something back and do something for us, because that's the way politicians do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be good to you because you can, you know, grease my palm. No. That being good to somebody that can give nothing in return. And yet, what do we find about the disciples? They forbid the children. The children want to get around Jesus. They don't want them in another place. And yet, Jesus was saying, no. True greatness is when we learn to serve those who can give nothing back to us.
And it's like when James states that pure religion is visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction, those people that can't give back.
Sure. And it's not a good old boy system, a good old boys club, because John said, you know, Master, we saw this guy and he was doing ministry in your name. We just told him to stop. I mean, what was he thinking? He's not one of us. And Jesus said, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, he's not against us. He's for us. You know, I rejoice in everybody. The same people came criticizing Moses way back in the day. And Moses said, would to God everybody were filled with God's spirit and were a prophet. I mean, come on. Yeah. We don't need to have these exclusive clubs where some people are better than other people. No, we're for every follower of Jesus. And but sometimes we do that, Caleb. Sometimes we like to slice things so thin that we feel like we're the only ones that can serve Jesus. We're the ones that are close to Jesus. We're the ones that know him. Yeah. We're the great ones.
Yeah, and it's almost as if, you know, it's sad because sometimes you get to a point where it's almost at any time another person or group of people outside of your group of friends or your ministry is successful, we grow suspicious. And we're like, oh, I'm sure it's because, you know, anytime, you know, there's another youth group that shows up at the youth conference that, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's because of this. Or, you know, we see it a lot of times with ministry, but even within the church. You know, you have all your different cliques and factions within the church that you know, inevitably come up. And it's, you know, at any time somebody has a great spiritual victory or is doing something great or is now serving, you know, publicly, we have to assume motives.
That guy can't love the Lord. He's a Methodist.
Right.
You know, that guy can't be sincere. He's a Southern Baptist, you know, and just all these crazy things, you know. And I understand there are reasons for denominational tags, and I know they're tagged to historic stands on theological issues. But my point is, a person that has a sincere heart to follow the Lord, to love his word, to honor his name, man, what ought to cause us to rejoice?
Get behind him and support. you know, the victory in Christ that we share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Jesus was teaching all of that here, humility and inclusion and big picture. And we need to keep those things in mind as well. And so thank you for joining us, my friends. Appreciate your faithfulness day after day. It does mean a lot to me. And we'll look forward to getting right back in the Bible next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.